This is where normal comes to die. Mediocrity meets its final demise, and the status quo is unabashedly dismantled. Welcome to Reinvention Radio. Now, here's your host, Steve Ulscher.
All right. Hey!
Oh, my God!
We worked. The board works. It's all good in board land. Yay.
Oh, my Lord.
All right, sweet. So we're trying to figure all this fun stuff out here. Welcome to another edition of Reinvention Radio as we go live once again on good old blab.im. So we're trying to figure out the setup here. For those that are joining us live online through Blab, thank you very much. For those that are listening on wsradio.com, really do appreciate you tuning in as well. And for those that are listening to the podcast, well, thank you for listening to the podcast, and we hope that at some point you'll join us live. And we do have, well, we've just got a new system set up here in the studio at WS Radio, and we're trying to get all this set up. So for those of you who are on Blab and can see the side of my face, thank you for that. And those who are on, well, we're not periscoping today, right, Richie?
No, not today.
No,
it's too much technology in one place. So we'll keep it there and going to have some fun here. So again, thanks for those who have been listening and subscribing and rating and reviewing. Really do appreciate all of that. And again, if you have any feedback on any of the past shows and you want to talk to us about a question or you want to comment or whatever it might be, the number would be 1-844-MR-BOLD-1. 844-MR-BOLD-1. So you can leave us a message there, and we will get to your questions, get to your comments, and very much looking forward to having you being a part of the conversation. So, man, lots of interesting things going on, and not the least of which is, have you been following, let me ask you this. First of all, did you see Straight Outta Compton?
What?
Oh, God. Do you know what the movie is?
No.
Jesus, Rich.
I know what the movie is, but I haven't seen it.
Rich, you didn't see it?
I thought you were...
I haven't. I look so forward to seeing that movie.
Do you know what Straight Outta Compton? Oh, Jesus.
Gang members?
Well, so to speak, but gang members who made good, I guess, if you're going to kind of look at it that way.
Like the guy in Bankers Hill yesterday?
What happened in Bankers Hill yesterday?
So a friend of mine came into town, and the airport was shut down because some guy was shooting at the police from his apartment.
Right across the street from my friend, by the way.
Shooting at the police from his apartment.
I almost called you about that yesterday.
Yeah, right across, literally. Just had a newborn.
God.
Because of proximity to the airport, though, they had to shut down incoming flights.
Wait, were they shooting at the planes?
No, it was just proximity. You could see it in the background. So
holy
like a stray bullet.
You could see on the news the guy shooting through his curtains out the window.
Oh, God. What was he? And who was he trying to shoot?
I guess,
the police? Was he like on, he was kind of like on, I don't know, what is that called? Like a hostage situation or no?
No, I think he was accused of domestic abuse.
Mm.
And then when they approached him, he kind of unloaded.
So he basically validated their concerns.
Right.
Exactly.
She might have something there.
Right. So we have suspicions of domestic abuse going on in this household. And now that you're shooting at us, we're pretty sure that she was right. Yeah,
yes.
Exactly. Okay, so Straight Outta Compton. No, it's
that's
a story
what I thought you were talking about.
Well, sort of, but they did a lot of shooting and all sorts of interesting things. But that's the story of NWA. No, nothing. We got nothing.
Got nothing. Nothing.
All right. So
I'm a girl.
NWA. Well, it doesn't matter. There are lots of girls. But it was sort of like, all right, it was kind of the birth of gangster rap, if you will. So that was way back in, and when I say way back, it really wasn't that long ago that genre kind of came into play here. But when you look at the time frame, it's about 30 years ago. Now, actually, damn, Rich, it's 30 years ago.
I feel old.
Holy mother of God. Jesus. I didn't even realize
this
30 years ago. Wow. Okay, so it's been around for a long time. So nix that. But the story of these four kids, basically, who came up from the streets of Compton, which for those of you who are unfamiliar, exactly, is the streets of L.A. And a really interesting story. They made, millions of dollars by being really true and honest about who they are, what they stand for, what they believe in, what they're fighting against, what they face on a day-to-day basis. And I was listening to NPR. Now, do you guys listen to NPR at all?
I can't stand
those are
the
some
sound.
Smug motherfuckers. I mean, Jesus fucking Christ. I cannot, you know what? They have to go, like, the NPR people must go to a school.
They do. They have to.
They have to go to a school where they basically, what I picture is like a conveyor belt. And like they sit you on the front of the conveyor belt. And as you kind of run through the conveyor belt, it like molds your personality.
And it strips
any
inflection out of your voice.
Exactly. It molds like your intonation.
It makes me want to bang my head on my steering wheel when I never listen to that.
All of them sound the exact same.
I know.
And so there were four of them. and they were sitting around at this, it's a podcast called Pop Culture. So it's NPR's Pop Culture. It's pretty interesting. Occasionally they got some interesting stuff going on. But this, what they had going on is they were talking about NWA. And so, gangster rap.
Tell her what it stands for.
What does NWA stand for?
Okay, so for those,
MMA.
It's not mixed martial arts. No, it's not. Oh, I like the hair thing. That's kind of cool. You do the thing. Now we're live, so you're doing all the hair stuff. Can anybody see Mary? We got to get Mary in this. Hold on. We got to get Mary in the picture there. There you are. No, that's Rich.
Way over here.
All right, we got to figure out the. We don't need me. We need Mary. Mary's like the pretty one here. Here we go. All right, now we got Mary. That's much better. Yay. Now Mary's in the shot. All right. Much better.
So right. NWA.
NWA. Okay. So let's just get on the table. It's niggers with attitude.
No way.
Yeah. No, like totally. Yeah.
Although it's actually niggas a Z and wit. W-I-T.
Sorry.
Attitudes.
So that would be the white. So the white translation is niggers with attitudes, but the actual is niggers with attitudes. So just in case you were.
Did they say this on NPR?
You know what? They said a lot of things on NPR, but not what just, I mean, my God. When you look at what these kids had to face, and by the way, this was like a black weekend for me. So the wife and I had a, look at you looking at me. So this
was
like.
You're just so colorful today.
And I am colorful. By the way, that would have been great. That actually should have been the follow-up. We should have watched, because we watched the NWA movie, which was great, Straight Outta Compton. I loved it. We watched Boys in the Hood. And literally.
You know how to show your wife a good time.
So check. Jeez. And so if we had colors, Rich, that would have been like the trifecta of like blackness for those three for that weekend. And that would have been awesome. I don't know why I didn't watch Colors. But no, literally, like I took my wife to the Four Seasons.
Nice.
The Four Seasons, the Biltmore in Santa Barbara. Right?
That's really nice.
Right? I mean, we looked on the, you know how like they have those little plaque thingies on the wall in the hotel, and it tells you like what the nightly rate is or what it's supposed to be.
Okay.
$1,700 a night for that.
Did you
little
get a coupon?
Suite. It was we needed a Groupon. Fortunately, they had buy two, get one free. But it was like $400 a night.
Did you take the kids?
We did not take the kids. It was just
a
romantic getaway for the wife and I, which was nice. Now, I will tell you that 70% of the time was spent in that room doing nothing but watching movies, eating junk food. We had pizza. It was funny. So we ordered pizza to our room, right? Now, you would think you'd go to most hotels, no big deal. Just the pizza guy knocks on the door, you know, hey, here's your pizza kind of thing. Here, there were two guards escorting the pizza guy to our room. Like they couldn't even carry the pizza. Like, you would think at some point they would just be like, hey, I'm the driver. Check it out. If I need to be escorted, here's the pizza. Just, you know, just go and do the delivery for me. Two guys, and I kid you not, two guys walked with
this
the pizza
poor,
guy.
Pimply teenage
the
kid.
Poor kid. And he's like, where in the hell did I end up? Because it was Scary Mary. Because, like, I mean.
Scary Mary.
Hey, there's Rich Ote. I know. That's my, you know, I got to tell you, my kids walk around saying Scary Larry all the time. But now that you're here, so yeah. I'm like, Scary Mary, right?
Scary Mary.
That's there what it was. And I got this kid was, I mean, like, literally you could see him and he was just scared out of his mind. Like, I think here's what he was thinking. He was like, when I open the door to this suite, NWA is going to be on the other side. I think that's what they were thinking right there. It's like he was fully expecting like Ice Cube and Dr. Dre and Yella and the whole, you know, the whole squad there. But by the way, they're like their most famous song, the song that really put them on the map, that scared a lot of people, was called Fuck the Police.
Oh,
and
they're still saying that today.
Well, they say that, and rightly so. But when you think about it, like, it was so troubling to see. Well, first of all, if you watch Straight Outta Compton and then you watch Boys in the Hood, you're going to hate police officers. Like, there's no way on God's green earth you're going to come out of those two movies thinking, like, I really like the police. You're going to be singing Fuck the Police around, set it with authority, because a nigga on the street is the majority of gang. Yeah, okay, but that's like, well, our next guest might.
This is
Mike.
Our first
Never heard
segment.
That one.
This is
right?
our first segment, I know. Yeah, right. And we'd like to welcome our sponsors to the show.
Yes.
We actually have a sponsor. Now she's
awesome.
Like, I don't know if I ever want to sponsor this show again. But seriously, when you watch those movies, you get angry.
Well, like, that's not a way to spend a romantic weekend.
We got angry at each other.
Yeah,
like, we were
right?
watching this. First, we were angry at the cops. Then we were angry at the movie. Then we were angry at each other. It was just like, wait a minute, we're going to put something nice on. So we watched, we watched The Notebook 28 times after that. And that really,
just
like,
trying to decompress.
Yeah, that really made up for it. But just, I mean, God darn, when you listen to these NPR folks, first of all, I thought it was a really good movie. And I mean, look, you're talking about four kids.
Oh, we're back to NPR. I'm just
back
what's
to
the
NPR.
Connection between
NWA NPR. I'm trying to get it all tied in here. When you go and you listen, when you watch the movie, it's a good movie. You should watch it, really, because it's educational. You'll learn a lot about the black culture. Now, I grew up in an environment. I grew up in an environment that was about half black, half white. So I grew up on that stuff. NWA for me, I heard it when I got the album when it first came out. DJed for a long time. And when you would drop Fuck the Police in the club, like, people would lose their damn minds. I mean, like, literally just jumping up and down, screaming. And if you were a security guard at that point, that's pretty much when you went to, like, on your break.
Yeah.
Because that's when people just got absolutely nuts. But those smug people from NPR, they sat around, they criticized this movie for like an hour. Like, they had nothing good to say about it. And it just, it absolutely made me, I got so mad. Because of the four people, you could tell there was one black guy. There was one black guy on the panel. They were just ripping this thing apart. And he sounded as white as the rest of them. Like if you just didn't listen, like, you wouldn't know. Just totally homogenized. So I'm hereby, I'm not officially boycotting NPR, but I'm suggesting that they bring in someone who has a different flavor, who doesn't have that same inflection,
who has a different
frame of mind.
No, they're done.
I don't get it. And they have the most popular podcasts, like, of all. If you go on to iTunes, you will see that almost all of the most popular podcasts our NPR podcast.
What does that say about our society?
That's the question right now. And we're going to actually talk about all of that and quite a bit more here, because we've got a really interesting guest on. I don't know if you were able to do a little research on this, but we got Mike Piscotto coming on. He's going to butcher me on the name. Piscotto, Piscotto, I'm going to kill it. But he actually served 10 years for armed robbery. So we're going to talk about his story right after this on Reinvention Radio.
One person has the power to change the world, impact millions of lives, and leave a legacy for lifetimes to come. That person is you. In the New York Times bestseller, What is Your What?, Steve Ulcher, award-winning author and founder of the Reinvention Workshop, reveals his proven process that has helped thousands of men and women discover, share, and monetize the one thing they were born to do. Grab your free copy now at www.whatisyourwhat.com/free. That's www.whatisyourwhat.com/free.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio with your host, Steve Ulcher.
All right, welcome back to Reinvention Radio as we try to figure out all this fun stuff around technology here. I'm going to get, we'll get a second mic going, and I'm just going to look like I'm,
total rock star.
I got two mics in my mouth now, and that's like my wife's worst nightmare right there. All right, let's bring Mike on while I'm trying to figure out how to plug in a cord, and Mike should be on line one, I believe, as well. All right, Mike, what's going on, brother? You there?
What's up, Steve? What's up, man?
What's up, baby? How you doing, man?
What's happening, man? I see we're having some blab issues. Is that what's up?
Yeah, but we're on the cutting edge, so we're going to work this out for everybody else.
Yeah, we're working it out right now.
For radio shows.
Okay, so for all the blab folks, hopefully now you can hear us a little bit better, but we'll see. I don't know. That's now might be overkill. Now might be coming in twice. But all right, so Mike, for those of you who can't pronounce your name, which is like basically me, how do you say your last name so I can stop butchering it?
Piscotto.
All right, that was close.
See, that should be my daughter's last name because her name is Portia Piscotto.
Portia Piscotto.
That would have been cool.
That would be awesome. And nice. And Mike, I believe, has a brother who's looking for somebody, and your daughter is 13 now, right?
Right.
Yeah, so that's perfect. Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
Just, that's how we'll roll.
Yeah, just like that. All right, so
Mike, bam.
So Mike, let's bring people up to speed on your story, because you actually served 10 years for armed robbery. Now, you were 18 when this happened. Take us back to what was going on at that point in time and what drove you to commit this crime.
Cool, man. So, all right, like you said, I'm 18, right? You know, I grow up in a completely dysfunctional home, drugs in the house, you know, just no respect for authority or anything. And I find myself at 18 addicted to Xanax, and I had taken a very large number of them, probably enough that should have killed me. And I woke up in a jail cell, no idea what I had done, dude. And I had this affidavit in this cell with me, and I pick it up, and I'm still kind of groggy from the drugs, and I look at it, and it says I'm charged with 2 counts of armed robbery. And, like, I have no idea what I did. And there was 2 other dudes that were with me, and we go outside, and they weren't nearly as plastered as I was, so they're explaining to me, like, what I did and what happened, and I'm totally freaking out. I'm crying, as you can imagine. I'm, like, suicidal. I'm going through just all these different thoughts and emotions, processing what the hell I did to myself and what the situation is and where I found myself, man. And, you know, I'm 18, and, you know, that's kind of how I had gotten there, man. I just, you know, just life up until the point of 18 was just completely negative. I really had never been exposed to anything good, man, or anything positive, or anything that was anything of where I am now, you know?
Yeah. All right. So, and take us back through, what was it like? So you grew up, where did you grow up, in Florida?
I was born in New York. I came to Florida at about like 12, 13, and then spent a few years here, mainly just getting in trouble.
Mm-hmm. And so did your folks divorce, and that's why you ended up moving from New York? Did they move together? How did that sort of go down? Because 12, 13, man, that's a really fragile age, especially as a young man. I mean, you got to have the dad around to kind of keep you straight, that sort of thing. So did you end up moving to Florida without your dad, or how did that, what did that look like?
Actually, it's interesting because my parents are still together, man. Wow. They've never been divorced. They're just miserable together, really. That's just how they are. They're just living life, and they're, you know, just inseparable. But really what it was, man, is I grew up, and I'm Italian. So, you know, the Italian and the Italian guy, you know, with his mom. And,
yeah,
you know, I was a mama's boy growing up, and my mom was one of those moms that constantly ran to my, if I got in trouble, it was always the other kid's fault, the principal's fault, the police's fault. So what had happened, man, is it created in me this just disrespect for authority, and it also created in me a very unrealistic expectation of consequences. So all this time, I'm constantly getting bailed out. I'd get in trouble, and there would always be someone else's fault. So I never had to face consequences, man, for any of the bad decisions and choices that I made, until one day there was no getting me out of it. There was no mom's going to save me, or, mm-hmm, you know, someone else's fault, or none of this. And I was forced to have to face those consequences, man. You know, when you're faced with 2 counts of armed robbery, there is no amount of, hey, I'm sorry, I won't do it again, or any of these things. There, that's it. They don't want to hear that.
All right. So, and just out of curiosity, what, God, that's just so, I mean, look, there's a lot of people out there who are going, I'm not sure I buy the story, right, in terms of not remembering anything. I mean, I've drunk, my fair share of Everclear and blacked out and that sort of thing, but I've never actually done any, like, when I do things and then black out, like, I don't do anything after that. Like, I just lay down and I'm, like, toast.
Right.
And that I don't remember. But I mean, you must have been that must have been a hell of a cocktail, man. What, by the way, just so that I'm clear, and for those of you at home who might also like to know what that cocktail exactly was, what on earth was that? So it was Xanax and what else?
Well, it was 11 Xanax bars and a 6-pack of Heineken. Now, here's the deal. Here's what makes it so crazy, dude, right? Everybody that I knew, Steve, everybody that I knew could take Xanax, and they would just be like a drooling puddle of sleep somewhere in the corner. But because I have ADHD, and my brain is chemically wired a little bit differently, where downers become uppers for me, uppers become downers. So that a Xanax is a downer. So what would happen is, I would take Xanax, and instead of it putting me to sleep, it would give me like this crazy amount of energy, but with no cognizance, no real like coherence of what I'm really doing and the consequences and the ramifications. Like it was crazy, dude. So that was what it was. I really shouldn't have woke up, man. 11 Xanax bars the next day when I had, you know, kind of woke up and was sober, and they said that I probably shouldn't have survived that.
Wow.
That's crazy.
So then you went off to prison for 10 years?
10 years. Now, 10 years day for day. No good time, none of that. In the state of Florida, because it was a crime committed with a gun, they have a law called 10-20 life, which is if you use a gun in the commission of a crime, automatic 10 years, no questions asked, mandatory, no good time, you'll do all of it. And I did. They gave me 10 years. And you can imagine being 18, right, when they first kind of present me and said, here's your deal. You can either take this 10 years and accept it as a plea deal, or you can go to trial and we'll throw a lottery number at you.
Wow, that's frightening.
So being 18, dude, I'm really mad. I'm really angry because 10 years was more than half of my life. Like, I'm in that spot, and I saw no light at the end of the tunnel. No way that this is it. My life's over. I'm done. You know, that's it. You might as well just throw in the key now.
Yeah, and I don't want to keep harping on this because I know we obviously want to move forward from what happened. But do you remember what were you told? I mean, did you go in with a shotgun? Was it a pistol? Where did you go into? What were you robbing?
Yeah, it was two stores. It was a Walgreens and like a small gas station. And yeah, there was a pistol that didn't even work. They said I went in and just kind of, hey, put the till on the counter and walked out with, like, I think the total number was like $119 total between both places, dude.
Oh, my gosh.
And Jesus, I mean,
so I spent more than...
here's what I don't understand. I mean, like, it's like the punishment should be reflective of the crime. I mean, first of all, you went in with a gun that didn't work. Second of all, you came out of both places with $100 and whatever,
right?
And change. And you're a kid, man. I mean, let's be real. At 18, every fucking 18-year-old is just stupid as hell. I mean, you do things
straight
because
up.
You're just learning about life. You're pushing boundaries and you're doing dumb things. And like you said, I mean, other folks just get bailed out and kind of get, you know, a reprieve of, all right, he was just young, dumb, and stupid. But at the same token, it's like, why do they come down on certain people so much harder than others? I mean, on the break, and I'm not sure if you were able to hear it or not, but we were talking about NWA, right? We were talking about Straight Outta Compton, the movie,
okay.
And just kind of how all that, you know, came about in the late 80s and everything that was going on with the police at that point. And 30 years later, it's really no different. We, you know, Black Lives Matter and the whole thing. I mean, it's
right.
Still going on. So frightening that 30 years later, we really haven't made any progress at all. But what I'm saying is, like, when you think about the way that our youth are treated, in some cases, they get the green light no matter what they do. They could do anything on the planet and they get a free pass, you know, it's a get out of jail free card, right? But then you take certain people of our society and it's like we run them up the maximum flagpole. And so why do you think they were so hard on you?
I think there's a couple of reasons why. I think the number one reason, man, was that law that I talked to you guys about was like 6 weeks old. Like, if I had literally committed the crime like 6 weeks and 2 days earlier, the maximum they could have given me was like 4 years total. So one of the main reasons was they wanted to make an example out of me. They used my situation to make an example. And I think the other side was the number of times I had been in trouble, fights and, you know, beating kids up when I was young and, you know, getting arrested for stuff like that and juvenile detention. And another thing that was just not in my favor, man, was having both parents. They felt like, well, man, you got both parents. You shouldn't, you know, you should know better. You should be able to, you know right from wrong. And, you know, you should have good examples. But they didn't realize, you know, that the home example wasn't good. Just because there were two parents there didn't make it any better, you know. So I think it was a combination of all of those things.
Yeah.
Okay, so when you were in prison and you had a chip on your shoulder when you first got there, how did that 10 years evolve for you to come out and do all the wonderful things you're doing now?
Yeah, well, let's do this.
We have to do that on the break.
Yeah, because that's going to be, that's definitely something we're going to have to get into here. I know it's a cliffhanger with Mike. Yeah, and Mike Bisciotta, I think I got it now, finally, after all these years.
You got it.
All right.
You got it, man. You got it.
And super excited, actually, because, and we will come back to that after the break here, but super excited, Mary, because we have something we've never had before.
What?
We have a sponsor.
Yes.
Like a legitimate
Yay.
Sponsor, like someone who actually paid like real money. So here's the sponsor. It's super cool. So for the coaches and the transformational leaders out there, stop wishing for wealth. It's time to align your vibration, income, and passion with the VIP Money Mastery Program. Peaceful prosperity for passion-driven entrepreneurs. More information at VIPMoneyMastery.com. How cool is that?
That is the
We
best.
Actually have a sponsor, VIPMoneyMastery.com. All right, more with Mike Bisciotta and his story about reinvention after the break.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're at a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Ulcher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step by step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many get on the right path and be clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step for realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting TheReinventionWorkshop.com today. No more delays, no more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to TheReinventionWorkshop.com. That's TheReinventionWorkshop.com.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio with your host, Steve Ulcher.
All right, welcome back to Reinvention Radio with your host, Steve Ulcher, along with the lovely Mary Goulet. I didn't even introduce you in the first segment. What the hell is wrong with me? I'm like the worst host ever, and Richard Otey.
You are.
I know, and Richard Otey is in the house as well, holding it down.
Hello.
Thank you, man.
So on the Compton thing.
I'm straight out of Compton.
I'm straight out of Compton, actually.
Actually, you know what's so funny is, like, there's this, when you go online, you'll see it. They have, like, this very sort of cool black and white-esque logo with these big words, you know, straight out of Compton. And so all of the cities obviously have been jumping on that. So, like, there's one downtown straight out of Carlsbad.
It's come on. No way.
Yeah, totally. No. All right, let's bring Mike back on, because you had a question for Mike after the break, and I smoke so much weed that I have no idea what that question was. What was the question for Mike?
Well, I'm just curious, you know, what was the transformation over those 10 years and bring us to the present?
Cool. So here's what happens, right? You know, you can imagine 18... going to prison, you know, typical, you know, scared to death. So I get to the very first institution they send me to, and I'm up in my cell, and I'm doing push-ups, and I'm praying and just kind of having this internal conversation all at the same time. And during this time, I realized that, you know what, I had given them 10 years of my freedom. That was me, my choice, my mistakes in life had done that. And I had made a commitment that although they had 10 years of my freedom, I was not going to give them 10 years of life. Mm-hmm. And so that commitment up in that cell completely shifted my entire perspective and how I would utilize the 10 years of my time. While all the other guys are gambling and selling drugs and getting involved in gangs and violence and all this other stuff, I used every waking moment that I had during that time to immerse myself in all things self-help, all things biblical, business, internet marketing. I actually learned how to read, write, and speak 4 foreign languages during that time. Mm. I was just a machine from the time I woke up to the time I went to bed, just completely just immersing myself in learning every single thing that I could with the mindset, because I knew that over the 10-year span, like, one thing to really realize that puts this in perspective for people is, when I went to prison, Google didn't exist, Facebook didn't exist, cell phones didn't exist, flat screen TVs didn't even exist. So I came home to a world, right? So I come home, dude, to this world that is so different. And I watched this world change while I was in prison, you know, reading the newspaper. Sure. And I realized that of all the things that I could learn and try to prepare, I would never really be able to solidly prepare myself for whatever it would be. But I knew that I had to make myself ready for whatever opportunity would present itself. And so I just studied as many things as I could and immersed myself in so many different things to just prepare and make myself as much of an asset to the society as I could upon that day of walking out.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's wow. And that's just it's a hell of a story, but it also is, I mean, really a testament to what sort of person you were going in, you know, because when you think about it, if you are not in that mindset in some way, shape, or form, if you don't have that mental capacity to even think about how am I going to use those 10 years productively, I mean, you're going to be a whole different person. And so, I mean, going into prison, you were just a kid that made a mistake. I mean, you were a sharp kid. Obviously, you knew that there were things that you should and you shouldn't do. You knew right from wrong, but you made a mistake. But you were obviously of full capable intellect. You knew that there was an opportunity there for you to take those 10 years and do something productive with it, whereas most people who don't have that sort of intellect will go into prison and just think about, how am I going to survive? How am I going to protect my ass from getting raped? You know, all of these fun things.
Ow.
Well, I mean, let's be real here.
Yeah.
Ow, you know, or yay, depending on which side of the fence you're on there. But, you know, it's just like, you know, a lot of people going in are just thinking like, you know, this, I'm just going to do my time. You know, I don't give a shit. And they're just like, you know, they have this whole attitude, which, what they, and here's kind of what I'm thinking is, where, and Mike, you can attest to this, but how people are on the inside of the prison, of penitentiary, whatever you want to call it there, I mean, those are those people are probably going to be very, very similar on the outside, no?
Dude, 100%. Here's the funny thing. I'm so glad that you said that, because I had so many guys that I used to talk to and that would see, you know, these guys would see me doing my time a certain way and, you know, all of these things, and they would be just kind of curious, and they would come talk to me and this and that, and at some, most of the guys that were in there doing the negative things, like, they all know they, you know, they don't want to come back to prison and they don't want to get out and fail, but they're still doing all of the same things in prison that they were doing on, you know, when they were free. Yeah. But somewhere along the lines, they'd convince themselves, oh, I'm only doing this here just to pass time and make things go by and whatnot. And they've never come to that realization, dude, that what you're doing now is exactly what you're going to be doing as soon as you walk out of them gates.
So how are you not a target? Because I don't think they'd want the crab to get out of the bucket. And you got out of the bucket.
That is exactly, that's exactly the words that I used to describe it. I was a target, right? Here's an exact example of a situation that happened to me. I was really big into working out. I used to lift weights pretty heavily when I was in prison, so I was pretty active in it. And there was this one institution that I was at where you had to line up at the gate, like right when the coach got there, to be the first guy in there and get the weights and sign them out if you wanted, you know, to not wait 2.5 hours to work out. So after, you know, doing this so long and the guys seeing me, you know, they think I'm Mr. Positive and, oh, I think I'm better than them and all this bull crap that I hear all the time and stuff. So these dudes would literally, like, get, like, a whole group of their friends to line up, guys that didn't even work out, to beat me to the gate, sign out the weights just so that I couldn't use them and I would have to wait. And obviously, you know, coming from my background, my first kind of feeling inside of me is, to fight one of these guys and get mad and just go there. But internally, I step back and I begin to process it. And I said, you know, if I can overcome these things and if I can respond to these challenges here in an environment where I'm supposed to fight, I'm supposed to probably break somebody's jaw. Like, that's what I'm supposed to do. If I can handle these in a different way, then when I walk out of prison, I'm going to be equipped to face the challenges that I will face on the other side of the gate.
You know, for being 18 and up to 28, that was a remarkable insight that you had to do it differently.
Yeah.
I mean,
well,
that's really a testament to who you are. So when you came out, I mean, you had to find a place to live, you had to get a job, or did you just go and try and find someone to loan you a computer?
Well, here's where it gets really interesting. So, Mike, share the story of what happened while you were in prison as far as Robin goes.
So we're on a radio show right now, right? So my very first opportunity on the radio, guys, was live inside of prison. I actually called in to a radio show and was live on the air while I was still an inmate, right? So here's what happens. I'm a young man, the very first prison that I get to. I get there and I'm listening to the radio one night, and this young lady pops on, but just bubbly and just full of joy, and I was kind of digging. I was digging her show. She was a really good radio personality. And so one day I have my mom call into the show asking this chick to give a shout out, right? So the chick is blown away because her perspective of prison is like, we're in a cell, we drink water and eat bread all day. Like, we have, you know, that's what she thinks, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she's blown away that her show is reaching into the prison. And so she comes on the air, she gives a shout out. You know, long story short, that's my wife now.
Oh, wow.
Right?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, so we meet in prison, right? After
that's a way to take a girl on a date.
I'm telling you, right? Like, you know, it was very romantic, definitely very romantic in the visiting area and stuff.
Wait, but
so
I have to ask, did you get conjugal visits? Was that like allowed for you? No, yes, yes, no.
No.
Oh, man.
Of all people, I knew you would ask me that.
Oh, dude, are you kidding?
In line with
next time,
are.
I'll take his mic down.
I mean,
down.
Hey, you talk about foreplay. Holy fuck. I mean, Jesus. Like,
yeah.
You guys are, like, going years. Man, that she was... So, you couldn't even... I mean, look, dude, obviously you're a smart guy. You couldn't even bribe one of the guards to give you, like... Well, if it's me, like, 2 minutes somewhere.
Oh, brother.
All I need is 2 minutes. 2 minutes would have sufficed. I mean...
So, which year was this... From 0-1 to 10, that you met her?
I was about 2.5 years in when her and I met. And here's the caveat to the story. Like, while all the guys in prison, the number one thing that they would love to have is some chick on the outside to talk to, right? Like, that makes your time easy. That was the exact opposite of what I wanted. I did
right.
not want that. I didn't want to just bring some girl into my world and make her have to wait. So I was totally anti that. And I even, like, tried to repel her at times and stuff, but it just became very clear as we just kind of wrote as friends back and forth. And then she came to see me one time, we just hit it off and we started entertaining, like, hey, there's obviously something here. Let's just see what this is all about. And 7.5 years, she completely rode out with me. And I walked out of prison and we got married 5 weeks later. We just celebrated 6 years about a month and a half ago, and we have two beautiful kids.
Wow.
So yeah. Awesome.
No, it is just an amazing
that
story.
That sounds kind of like a God thing, this whole do the crime you didn't know you did, serve your time, and make the best out of the situation that I just... so hard. You know, and then meet your wife.
It is.
It's crazy.
It is. It's like, it's almost like made for TV, right? You know how many people are wanting me to, like, dude, you have to take this, like, Hollywood. I'm working on a book right now. Book's getting ready to come out soon. All that cool stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's a hell
That's
of a
cool.
story. Yeah, it is. And what I want to do after the break is we spent two full segments of the show talking about prison, because I don't know, for me it's like I got obsessed with Orange Is the New Black. I hated the show at first, but the wife, you know, got me watching it, and now I'm thinking, like, Mike must have had like 28 crazy eyes, you know, types of people like looking at him eyeballing and pissing
yeah.
on his floor and claiming him and that sort of thing. And Mike was like, no, I ain't having it. But you know, it's a really interesting part of the, you know, of the story here to focus on what happened in prison and how he got in prison. But I definitely want to make sure that here after the break we talk about what
marketing,
you have been doing
yeah.
since then, because what you guys are doing with the whole online world and, you know, marketing your purpose and everything else. I mean, it's a hell of a great thing you and Robin have going on. So I want to make sure that we talk about your new endeavors and how you are changing the world as a reinvented man here on Reinvention Radio right after this.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're in a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, then the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Olscher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step by step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many people get on the right path and clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step to realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting thereinventionworkshop.com today. No more delays. No more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to thereinventionworkshop.com today. That's thereinventionworkshop.com.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio with your host, Steve Olscher.
Come back to the show.
Come back to the show. All right, welcome back to Reinvention Radio. Hey, Rich, will you come over here and take a look at what's going on the screen? Rich,
sure.
This way. Yeah, because
like right
I got actually get on the mic here.
Steve
so,
on
like,
demand.
I know. Like, I had the wrong thing. Menace technology. Sure. We're going to get it. So we're trying to come out of the board directly into the computer to this whole Blab thing broadcast live. And Mike Pesciotto's joining us here, and we're having a lot of fun here talking about how you went from inmate to entrepreneur, which, by the way, I think is going to be the name of your book, correct?
Actually. actually, that was going to be it, man. I just recently, like a week ago, made a strong pivot, just in line with something some folks had shared with me and some mentors that were like, dude, that's like, the story is way bigger than just you went from an inmate to an entrepreneur. There's so much more to it, and you want to appeal to a bigger masses. So it's actually going to be from prison to prosperity, and that's the .com.
Wow,
also from prison
like
to prosperity.com.
Good okay. Alliteration.
Yeah, yeah, really, really nice. All right, so take us through when you were in prison. You started studying, you read every book you could find, you got into self-help, et cetera. Now, when you came out of prison, did you immediately start gravitating towards internet marketing, or what happened after you were released?
Cool. So here's what happened, right? So I walk out of prison, right? I start, you know, getting on the laptop because I realize that, you know, there's a lot to learn. I have a huge learning curve. So I just start, you're just trying to just understand what I've missed for 10 years. What's Google? What's Facebook? Twitter? All of this stuff, which they were just kind of emerging pretty popularly about that time. And I tried to get a job because I had to. You know, I had come home and Robin and I were getting ready to get married. She was working for a client that she had because she had actually started a business while I was in prison. And then when the economy tanked right before I came home, her brick and mortar business just kind of went to just nothing. So She took a job. She was working. The plan was for me to kind of step into that business and take it over. But the economy was so bad locally, it didn't work. So Within about 2 months of us being married, she gets fired because she's married to an ex-con. So I can't get a job. Nobody will hire
That's
me.
Not
as soon
fair.
As they
That's
find out I got a criminal record, right? I know, right? Dude, not only that, but like it's so hard that I got friends that come home from prison that really want to do the right thing. They've worked with me and followed my example. They really want to work. They can't even find places to live because as soon as they put in an application, the people say, well, we don't let criminals or ex-cons rent apartments here or rent houses. And it's like, how do you expect people to come home that want to do well and you won't even give them a place to live if they're willing to pay you? Like, it's really bad, man. So That was the situation, dude. Like, nobody would hire me. We, you know, we had a hard time like finding places to stay, but we didn't let it beat us up. One of the things that 10 years of prison worked in me the strongest was I always have a choice. Life always is going to give me a choice. I can let challenges, haters, failures, struggles break me, or I can let them make me. And I always chose to let them make me. And the same thing on the other side of the gate, dude. Outside of prison was not much different than the inside of prison, except I did have real conjugal visits and I did have better food, right?
It's interesting too, because like when you look at, and I got to go back to Orange is the New Black, because Orange is the New Black is like as close to prison as I'm ever going to get, I hope. So there's this character in the movie.
I know you pretty well.
Yeah, I know. Give it time. Anything can happen. All right, but you know when you look at the show there, there's a character named Tasty, and she's just really like funny, you know, vivacious, big black girl, and she had been in prison for a long time and had made really great friends and just really got comfortable in that life. When she was released, everything was just like, it was so uncomfortable for her. And she was so miserable that she basically did what she could to get back into prison, to get back into the only life that she really knew.
Wow.
Yeah, scary. And so I think, Mike, to your point, what you're saying is, you know, a lot of these folks that want to do right and want to do something that is productive for society, they're not given the opportunity to do so. And so they revert back to putting, well, hell, you got to put food on the table. You got to pay some bills. You got to find a place to live. If you got to make money and you can't do it the right way, you're going to do it the wrong way.
And that's sad, dude. It really is sad. And, you know, that's really one of my passions and missions and why I share the story so much so that other guys that have been to prison or even, you know, people go to prison all the time that aren't in physical prisons. They're in prison by the cubicle or by their job or by bad relationships or whatever. So my goal in sharing the story is for people to see that you can be free from that. You know, you can, despite circumstances, you can make things. Yeah, it's going to be challenging. Yeah, it's hard. Yeah, people shut doors in my face. Yeah, you know, we couldn't get a job, this and that. But so what Robin and I did, literally, we funded a business by selling trash on Craigslist.
Really?
We would literally go out, hands down, we would go out at night, her and I, We're young. It was actually fun, dude. You got to remember, I'm just a couple of months out of prison. So the freedom is just, I don't care. Going to Walmart was fun, right, mm-hmm. for me back then.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, we would go out and we would find, like, on the side of the road, vacuum cleaners and printers and flat screen monitors, put it up on Craigslist, and we used every dime. Like, we paid our bills second, funded our business first. Wow. We used every dime to get our first website, to get active in a local chamber of commerce, to start learning about how to use social media for business. And that was kind of how the internet marketing thing for us got started. We always had a passion for marketing. We applied it even to the way we wrote Craigslist ads, right? Our copy was so good for Craigslist ads that people would buy our stuff. We'd sell it super quick. And that's kind of how the business got funded. And we started doing, like, done-for-you marketing stuff for clients. That's how we met you, Steve. We were building websites, doing landing pages. Like, we started just doing that stuff. And after a couple of years of doing that, we kind of had another kind of reawakening where we were like, wow, you know, we're trading hours for dollars and we can't really scale. And we don't really like this whole done for you as much as we used to. And we just shifted business models to a more consulting, you know, information based kind of business, which is what we're doing now.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's out there yet, but I certainly can see it on the horizon for you guys, but some sort of info product about how to sell shit on Craigslist. Like, that would be a great info product. I mean, they got all that crap about eBay and all that other stuff. I mean, you might as well make a living off Craigslist. That would be a great info product.
Yeah,
I could
the copywriting.
I mean, right, because it's all in the copy. It's all in the presentation. It's all in finding the right stuff. I mean, there you go. There's an 8-module program right there you can sell for $697.
Well, did you go to his website?
Bam.
Marketingyourpurpose.com?
Yeah, I know Mike and Robin very well, and they do amazing work.
They do. I looked at all your products. They're awesome.
Yeah, they do amazing work. Hold on. Now we got a feedback loop going on, so let me hit the mute on this. No. I'll do it over here.
All right.
All right, so I had to hit the mute on that because we're trying to figure out this fun technology thing. That's the beauty of doing this all on the fly here on Reinvention Radio. But while we still have an opportunity to do so, tell us about Marketing Your Purpose. MarketingYourPurpose.com is the site. But give us the overview of all the fun stuff that you guys are doing there and what you can do for our audience.
Yeah, cool, man. So, I mean, really at the end of the day, Steve, we call ourselves funnel fanatics. We are immersed in and help clients all things funnel-based. And basically, it comes down to two simple things. If you have a business, online or offline, you need two things. You need people, and you need to convert those people. And that's what we help clients with, using online systems, things like Facebook ads, landing pages, lead magnets, and create systematic, optimized funnels, man.
Yeah, awesome. Well, Mike Pesciotto, has been really, really great having you on. Really do appreciate you sharing your story. And look, man, you know, in the scheme of things, as you said, everything is a choice, and things could have gone really, really bad for you. And I'm glad that you came out the other side, you know, looking as shiny as a brand new car when you come right down to it. A brand new man, brand new person coming out on the other side. They're pretty amazing, huh, Mary?
It's remarkable.
It is remarkable.
I mean, seriously, at 18, to have that awareness that I have a choice to build my life or break it further down.
Yeah, I mean, at 18, you're in such a, I mean, it's just, oh, God. I mean, you're just so, like, angry and trying to figure things out and find your place. And, you know, it's like this ups and these downs and these roller coasters. And it's just such a difficult time. And can you imagine everything being stripped, all of your freedoms being stripped away, thrown
and
in a cell? And you don't even remember why.
And the self-loathing that could have gone with that.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Next time we have to have Robin on.
I know. Next time we will have Robin on. And she is a hoot. So, wow. Awesome show today. And again, we'd like to thank our sponsor, our very first sponsor, VIPMoneyMastery.com. It's time to align your vibration, income, and passion with the VIP Money Mastery Program. Peaceful prosperity for passion-driven entrepreneurs. Visit VIPMoneyMastery.com. Awesome
Perfect.
Show here on
nice.
Reinvention Radio. We will talk to you guys really soon.
You just got dismantled. Thanks for listening to Reinvention Radio. For more information about the show and your host, Steve Olsha, visit ReinventionRadio.com.